Let us turn this morning to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Timothy chapter 4 and verse 9, we're looking today at Paul's closing words. Verse 9 begins a new paragraph. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychius have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer no man stood with me, but all forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute Prisca and Aquila, and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Pudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with thee. Amen. The Apostle Paul began this letter referring to Timothy as his dearly beloved son. And now, he's closing the letter. As far as we know, the Apostle Paul was not blessed of the Lord to have any natural sons, but he was greatly blessed of the Lord and used of God in preaching the gospel and having many spiritual sons. And Timothy was one of them, one he calls his dearly beloved son. You see, in these closing verses, in verse 9, he tells Timothy to do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. And then in verse 21, do thy diligence to come before winter. Twice he tells Timothy to be diligent, to do his diligence to come unto him. First, to come shortly, and then to come before winter. Timothy was in Ephesus, and for Timothy to come to Rome would mean a voyage by sea, and traveling in the wintertime was dangerous. And so we see Paul's concern for Timothy come before winter. In looking at these last few verses, there are so many topics and subjects that are suggested and are part of this last paragraph, but I've chosen three things this morning to call our attention to. First, the first seven people named in these verses. I believe there are 16 that are named in total, but we want to look at the first seven that are named. The others were with Paul, sending greetings to Timothy, or they were with Timothy, to whom they were sending greetings. But he names seven individuals in verses 10 through 14. And as we look at these seven, first, Paul has negative things to say about the first one and the last one. He has negative things to say about the first one and the last one. Demas is named first, and he is named as forsaking Paul, having loved this present world. What a lesson. What a lesson for each one of us. It's sad to think that this is the last time that Demas is mentioned in the Word of God. He's mentioned in other places. In the letter of Philemon, the Apostle Paul speaks of Demas as a fellow laborer. What honor to a man to be a fellow laborer with the Apostle Paul. And he's also named in Colossians as sending greetings along with Paul. But now, in this last letter, this last inspired letter of the Apostle Paul, we see that Paul says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Now, this statement does not necessarily mean that Demas had forsook Christ and had forsaken the gospel. It may mean that. It may mean that. But it also may simply mean that Demas, out of fear of the persecution that would come his way by being associated with Paul, being associated there with Paul in Rome, just being his friend, that out of fear, Demas went to Thessalonica. We don't know about that, but that is possible. And we might ask this question, is it possible? Is it possible that an associate, a fellow laborer at one time with the Apostle Paul, is it possible that an associate of the Apostle might be thus overcome with temptation? And the answer, of course, is yes. The answer is yes. A believer might be overcome with temptation out of fear and desert this Apostle. If you look with me in 1 John chapter 2 just a moment, I want to point something out, something we know but we need to be reminded of in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 14. You know, John, in this second chapter of this epistle, he addresses believers as little children, as young men, and as fathers. And that just reminds us, or it should at least, that we grow. We are intended to grow. When we are born of the Spirit of God, we are babes in Christ, and we are to grow. But I want you to notice what he says here in verse 14 about the young men. I've written unto you, this is the middle part of verse 14, I've written unto you, young men, because you are strong. You are strong. And the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. And I call our attention here basically to point this out, that when John speaks of these young men as being strong, the one thing he mentions about them is that the word of God abideth in them. How is it that we are to grow? Well, we are to desire the sincere milk of the Word as babes, that we may grow thereby. God has given us His Word, His written Word, and this is our food. This is what feeds us, or the food that He's provided for us, that we may grow spiritually. And is it possible that an associate of an apostle might be overcome with fear, that he might give in to this temptation? Yes, absolutely. And the same thing could happen to any of us, to any child of God. And I want you to look at this example, if you will, back in Psalm, in the Psalms, chapter 30. You know, the scripture says, take heed, lest thinking you stand, you fall. In Psalm 30 and verse 6, the psalmist tells us his experience. He said, in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. What kind of prosperity? Well, it might be material prosperity, but it might also be spiritual prosperity. And my spiritual prosperity, experiencing the grace of God, the presence of God in your heart and life and in your prosperity, walking with the Lord, fellowshipping with the Lord. He said, I said, I shall never be moved. In other words, this is going to continue on throughout the rest of my pilgrimage. I shall never be moved. Lord, notice verse 7. Lord, by thy favor, thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. It was only by the grace of God. That's what favor is. God's unmerited favor. It was only by the grace of God. God had made his mountain to stand strong. God had caused him to walk in prosperity. But notice next, thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. All God has to do is just hide his face. Thou hast hidden thy face, and I was troubled. Well, we go on and see what David did. He said, I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. And that's what we should do when we stumble and fall. We cry unto the Lord and make our supplication unto him. What shall it profit? Or what profit is there in my blood when I shall go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Be thou my helper. One thing that we know this morning about Demas is that if he was a child of God, if he was one that God had loved with an everlasting love, in spite of his weakness that we may read about here, we know this, that he was not separated from the love of God. Because nothing is able to separate one of God's children from his love. So that's the first of these seven that the apostle mentions, Demas. The last one is a man by the name of Alexander, the coppersmith. He's the last one. And Paul says in verse 14, that he did me much evil. And Paul warns Timothy about him. In verse 15, he said, of whom be thou ware also? He did me much evil. And Timothy, you be aware, beware of him, rather. He hath greatly, notice, for he hath greatly withstood our words. Now, Paul's words, and he says our words, Timothy's words, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel that Paul preached and Timothy preached, this man, Alexander, had greatly withstood their words. And this may have reference to the resurrection of the dead, because we know that in 1 Timothy, this man, Alexander, was associated with Hymenaeus. And Hymenaeus was one who taught that the resurrection is past already. Now, when Paul says that he greatly, greatly withstood our words, that means the man did not have any sound arguments. The only way he could withstand Paul was with railings and blasphemous words and things like that. But Timothy, you beware of Alexander. Now, here's some that he speaks positive things about, and there are five of them. The first one is Crescens, Titus, and Tychius. And they had all left Paul. These three men had all left Paul, but not like Demas. Demas left Paul, having loved this present world. But these three men, Crescens, Titus, and Tychius, had left Paul to go and preach the gospel. One went to Galatia, one to Dalmatia, and Tychius, he sends to Ephesus. That's where Timothy was. And Timothy, Do thy diligence to come unto me. So Tychius is going to take his place there in Ephesus. But all of these men went forth to preach the gospel. What a blessing it is when God calls men out of a congregation to preach the gospel. God blesses a church when he calls one of the membership to preach the gospel. That's our Lord's command, isn't it? To go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Whosoever believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Whosoever believeth not shall be damned. When this life is over, and it will soon be over for all of us, the one important thing is our relationship to Jesus Christ. Our relationship to God, and that's only a good relationship to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way to know God and to come to God other than through Jesus Christ our Lord. What a blessing it is for men to go forth preaching the gospel. And that's what these three men, they left Paul to preach the gospel. It's always a blessing. You know, as a pastor, we hate to see anyone leave our congregation, but when someone goes out preaching the gospel, we rejoice in that. When they leave to go somewhere else to pastor or to be a missionary, as God would use them and direct them, what a blessing that is for a local church. And the Lord Jesus Christ has commanded us, you and I, to pray the Lord of the harvest. It's His harvest. It's the Lord's harvest, and He's the Lord of the harvest, but we are to pray Him that He would thrust out laborers into the harvest. There's fields that are white unto harvest with no laborers, and so we are commanded to pray the Lord of the harvest. And these men all went out preaching the gospel. Now the next man that's mentioned is Luke the physician. He was with Paul. And this is the same Luke who wrote, inspired of God, the gospel that goes by that name, and also the book of Acts. When you think of our Bible without the gospel of Luke, if we just had the three gospels, Matthew, Mark, and John, we'd have everything that we need. But without the gospel of Luke, we would miss so much. Much about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ we learn from the Gospel of Luke. As I thought about this past week, about Luke, the beloved physician, that there's a verse in Luke chapter 2, on the night the Lord Jesus Christ was born. Remember, the angels appeared to those shepherds, and they said, unto you a Savior is born. And you'll find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And they go and they see this marvelous thing. What a marvel, right? That the God-man was born into this world. But you know, there's a verse there that says this about Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus. It says, Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. She kept these things in her heart. Now, is it possible? It is possible that Luke, he actually spoke with Mary. He actually spoke with the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. And those things that she had kept in her heart and pondered, that she revealed to Luke, much about the birth of John the Baptist, about the angels that appeared, all of that in Luke chapter 1 and chapter 2, she would have known. Was it possible she kept that in her heart? And after the Lord Jesus Christ was even crucified and Luke heard the gospel, that he came and spoke with her and she revealed that which was in her heart. And it was inspired of God. There's no question about that. Everything that he wrote was inspired of God. We know that he was a close associate with the Apostle Paul. For his books Luke, and Acts, those that he was used of God to write, for them to be included in the canon of Scripture, he had to have been a close associate of an apostle. And about halfway through the book of Acts, Luke begins to write, we, because he was a companion of Paul. And we see here in the very end of Paul's life, or very near the end of his life, that Luke the physician was with him. And then the last man who's named here is Mark. And I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful for this mentioning of John Mark. The apostle tells Timothy, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Why does that excite me? Why does that encourage me? Because I know from the Word of God that what Paul writes here about John Mark had not always been true. There was a time when Barnabas and Paul would go on a second missionary journey, and Barnabas said, let's take John Mark with us. And Paul said, no, he's not going with us. And the reason he said that is because on the first missionary trip, he had departed from them. He would not go with them, the scripture says, to the work. And the work, of course, was preaching the gospel. He had deserted Barnabas and Paul. And so on that second trip, Paul said, no, we're not going to take him. And the dissension was so great between these two men of God that Paul took Silas and sailed in one direction, and Barnabas took John Mark and went in another direction. But now that's all forgiven and all forgotten. Aren't you glad that God is merciful and gracious to forgive? There's such a thing as a new beginning. And I like a new beginning every day. Every morning, I like a new beginning. The failures of yesterday, I can't do anything about that. But this is a new day, and I'm responsible for this day. You take Mark, Timothy, and you bring him with you because he is profitable to me for the ministry. Well, the second thing I want to call our attention to is what Paul told Timothy to bring with him in verse 13. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchment. He asked, first of all, for a warmer cloak. A warmer cloak. Then he asked for his books and the parchments. But you notice he says, especially the parchments. And what was special about the parchments? Well, the parchments evidently refer to the books of the Old Testament because that's the material upon which they would have been written. And what we see here, what I see here, is at the very end, or very close to the end of Paul's life, he still was a reader. He still studied the Word of God. You never outgrow God's Word. I don't care who you are. I don't care how long you live. You never outgrow God's Word, the need for God's Word. God has blessed His Word. I'm talking about His written Word. Surely the Word of God, the living Word of God, is the Lord Jesus Christ. But in the written Word of God, we read about the living Word of God. Paul told Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. As believers, we have no strength in ourselves. The grace is in Christ. Be strong, Paul says, in the grace. But where is that grace? That grace is in Christ. Full of grace and truth, John tells us in the first chapter of his gospel. The Word became flesh, dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and glory. We need grace every day. We need strength every day. Where is that going to be found? Are we going to look within ourselves and that inner strength that man talks about today and brags about today? Oh, no, not if we are God's children. We're going to keep our eyes on Christ, looking unto him who is the author and the finisher of our faith. That's where our strength comes from. Paul says, you bring the cloak, you bring the books, and you bring especially the parchments. Now, it's interesting. Let me share this with you. It's interesting that the man that I believe God used more than any other man to get the scriptures into our language, into the English language, was William Tyndale. And William Tyndale, at the end of his life, made a very similar request. 1535 was the year. He was shut up in a castle prison in Belgium. And this is what he wrote. I entreat your lordship, and that by the Lord Jesus, that if I must remain here for the winter, you would beg the commissary to be so kind as to send me from the things of mine which he has a warmer cap. He needed a warmer cap. I feel the cold painfully in my head. A warmer cloak, for the cloak I have is very thin. He has a woolen shirt of mine, if he will send it. But most of all, he asked for the cap and the shirt, the cloak, but most of all, my Hebrew Bible. My Hebrew Bible, grammar, and vocabulary, that I may spend my time in that pursuit. And we know in the next year, he was executed. He was martyred. How much do we owe to William Tyndale that we have the Bible in English today? Many people don't even know who he was and don't care. It's a shame, isn't it? It's a shame. Well, here's the third thing I want to point out, the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ in verses 16 through 18. Paul tells here of what I'll call his first court appearance. He may have stood before Nero. That may be who he refers to as the lion. But it could have been some lesser judge. But the fact is, there was no believer. There was no believer with him then at Rome, brave enough to stand with him. There was no one to go to be a character witness for him or to support him in confessing the truth of the gospel. But he doesn't condemn them. He prays that this not be laid to their charge. Notice in verse 16, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray, God, that it may not be laid to their charge. You know, in the letter of Romans, he wrote this to believers, be not overcome of evil, recompense no man evil for evil. And so we see he practices here. He doesn't condemn the fact that no one stood with him. No other believer would stand with him. He prays that it would not be laid to their charge. But here's the point. He experienced the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus has promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That promise is given in the Old Testament, I believe, on five different occasions to five different believers. The first time to Joshua. But that promise is a promise to all of God's children. He will never leave us nor forsake us. The Lord Jesus told his disciples, when they deliver you up, and that's what happened to Paul, he was delivered up. He said, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall say. The Lord stood with Paul. And as we see here, as I mentioned just a little while ago, we have no strength in ourselves. He said, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. He gave me the strength. He is my strength. That's what the psalmist said. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Not that he gives us strength. He is the strength of our life. And then again, I want you to look at Paul's faith concerning his future in verse 18. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. This is something that every child of God may know with assurance today. He's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. He's going to preserve us unto his heavenly kingdom. We're in his kingdom now if we've been born again. If we've been born of the Spirit of God, we've entered into his kingdom. But it's not a kingdom of this world, is it? It's a spiritual kingdom. And Paul said he's going to preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom when he comes again. And his kingdom is manifest, his heavenly kingdom. Every child of God, every believer may have assurance and strong consolation that he's going to preserve us and keep us. Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. Yeah. Have you been called? Has God called you using the gospel, called you to faith in Jesus Christ? Faithful is he who hath called you, who will also do it. He'll finish the work. And in 2 Thessalonians, he said, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Now, this doesn't mean that he would never experience any physical evil in this world, but there would be no evil that would destroy him. From every evil work, there would be no evil work that would destroy his faith and his relationship with the Lord Jesus. Now, notice how he closes his letter with prayer for his dearly beloved son. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Grace is a word that every child of God loves to hear. And grace is a truth that cheers the hearts of God's people. For by grace are you saved. Think of that, for by grace are you saved. That means without any merit whatsoever on your part, the church's part, the saints' part in heaven. No. For by grace and grace alone are you saved. That is one of the most wonderful truths and one of the most difficult things for us to believe and to rest in. Most people always have something they're looking back that they did or they're planning on doing. No. Get that all out of your mind if you can. For by grace are you saved. It's God's grace. He saves sinners on purpose, and he saves us because he will save us. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Amen. We're going to sing this hymn, Jesus Paid It All, All to Him I Owe.